So the first thing I'm going to need you to do is say your name and spell it.
Michelle Bryant, MichelleBryant.
Perfect. And the first question is super easy. What did you have for breakfast?
Nothing.
Nothing. You're the second person who's so
I have not eaten all day. I'm going to die, pass out any moment. Nothing.
You should go upstairs. I think they have some really good food there.
I saw a couple of plates.
Okay.
I am going to get me something.
We need to get you fed.
Yes.
That's very important.
Yes.
We don't want you to pass out. Second question, also easy. Are you registered to vote?
I am registered.
Okay, good. Can you tell me about the first time you ever voted? What brought you out to the polls? How old were you? Who was it for? What were your reasons?
So the first time I ever voted,
yes.
I was actually in Wichita, Kansas, and had just turned 18, and was away from home. I was at college. Didn't know anyone, didn't know where to go, didn't know anything. I just knew that it was election day. Mm-hmm. And in my family, my mother is from Birmingham, Alabama. And so I was raised in the combination of both Birmingham and New York.
Okay.
And the civil rights movement, 16th Street Baptist Church, all of that's a part of our DNA.
Yes.
In terms of my family and the conversations we've had. So there was this, it was driven into us that there was this responsibility to go vote. And, you know, we had all of the pictures and the pins from marches. And so I came from a family that very civically engaged. So that was the first time I voted was out of responsibility.
Yeah.
But I tell people the first time I really voted for me was connected to the issue of childcare. I was a young mom and going to college and trying to work a full-time job and pay for daycare. Legislation was being done that would have made that more difficult. And I convened a group of, you know, people similarly situated. And we all, you know, started like educating people like why this proposed legislation was bad, and one thing led to another, and I wanted to get rid of the person who was holding that seat, so who had actually moved the legislation forward. So I always talk about I've had three pivotal points in relationship to either civic engagement or voting. Turning 18 out of duty to ancestors, family DNA. One, because of my own issue. But my brother recently reminded me. He said, Michelle, you've been doing this since we were kids. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, you don't remember? There was an aldermanic race. And guy comes and knocks on our door and asks for the vote. You were the one that engaged him. And you said, so what do I get if we elect you? Why should we elect you? And he said, well, what do you want? And I said, I want a playground in our community because we didn't have one. And he said, well, I got to get elected first. He said, so if you're willing to go out and talk to your neighbors, knock on doors, and I get elected, I'll make sure you get that playground. He did.
No way.
He did.
No, shut the front door.
He did. He got elected. No way. He later went to jail, but that's another story.
Oops.
Later. Went to jail, but he did get elected, and we did get that playground. And my brother actually reminded me of that not too long ago.
That's incredible.
It's amazing. And I mean, and he said, like, you've always just been that person that, you know, wanted to know how things work, and you were willing to ask the questions. And he said, when everybody else kind of walked away while he was trying to talk to people, I stood there and I asked questions.
So you don't take anything for granted.
You can't.
Yeah, you can.
You can't. You know, looking at what's going on with Roe v. Wade right now, and the horrific stories that have come out of, like, I think about Georgia, young woman, Amber, unnecessarily losing her life, and people being forced to flee their states to get reproductive health care.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was talking to somebody because they were saying, you know, that what she did, she potentially, you know, created her own situation that put her life in jeopardy. And I said, yeah, but if somebody tries to commit suicide and they present themselves at the hospital, you still treat them.
You still treat them.
So I don't understand.
And like, don't doctors take a vow?
Yeah.
To like treat and like protect. I'm not sure exactly how the vow goes, but it's something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I get the fear and concern.
Yeah.
About, you know, somebody trying to make you go to jail. But I always think about that 10-year-old child that unfortunately had been sexually assaulted and was pregnant.
Yeah.
And the fact that we would re-traumatize this child by making her carry a fetus to term.
Yeah.
Unconscionable. So no, you don't get to take it for granted. I tell people I am 1 year older than affirmative action. I am 1 year younger than the right to vote, unencumbered for black people. Because in earnest, it was what, 64, 65, that we finally got to not count bubbles or jelly beans. And so, you know, this is my lifetime.
Yeah.
You can't take it.
Yeah. And nothing, like nothing in this world is true.
No. I mean, I'm sure after the suffragists, you know, sat down to celebrate the right to vote, like we did it, we got it done. I'm in a sorority, and my sorority was in that march in 1913. And even in that march, the African-American women were asked to walk at the back of the line. It was 1913. And they said, no, we won't be doing that. And you know, but they were walking understanding that the rights that they were fighting for were not going to benefit them immediately.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure they didn't know it would be 65 years before they too could vote unencumbered and without restriction. But all of us now have the ability to look back and watch voting rights repealed away. More and more restrictions in place and looking at what people are doing with mail-in ballots across the country. It's sickening and it's scary.
Yeah.
You know, I never thought that in 2024, I could have somebody standing over me challenging my vote.
Yeah, exactly.
As an observer. You know, like, so, no, we don't get to take it.
No, absolutely not. So when you vote this year, what are some of the issues that are gonna like be deciding for you?
So, you know, in all fairness, I'm a high information voter.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say some of the traditional things that people might say in terms of the economy, jobs. You know, I am concerned about housing. But, you know, for me, the bigger issue is when people talk about democracy being on the ballot, I'm scared of what we're becoming. The lack of decorum, the fact that we could have a leader of the country who has made fun of people with disabilities, who has talked disparagingly about POWs, who said that he didn't want disabled veterans at an event because nobody, quote, wants to see them. Yeah, John Kelly actually told on Donald Trump that when they were at an event and veterans were there and a veteran in a wheelchair came over and that Donald Trump later leaned in and asked him, why did you all ask him that? No one wants to see that. Because he was disabled. Because he was disabled. So the fact that we can have name calling and even like women who are willing to sit by while Kamala Harris is called stupid, and most recently when Trump was at a rally, he said that Joe Biden became, what did he call it? Basically mentally deficient. I can't think of the word. But Kamala Harris was born that way. He said that. He said she was born that way. Like, she was born mentally retarded. She was born mentally incompetent. He said it. Just not even a week ago. And so there was a interviewer, I mean a anchor or some sort, political pundit on one of the Fox News shows. And there was this really sexually derogatory term that was used to describe Kamala Harris in terms of, you know, fellatio and blah, blah, blah. And this guy said she's the original, you know. And it's a really vulgar saying. It's called a huck tuber. You have to go look it up. And he said Kamala Harris, the vice president of the United States, was the original. And the woman that was sitting next to him, she said, well, that was a tough one. And I'm like, do you not understand that when people are allowed to demean this woman, and they demean her not based on, even though you shouldn't do it even then, but it's not about policy.
Yeah.
It's not about a work history or work record. It's about mental acumen.
Yeah.
Whether or not you deserve to be in a room.
Yeah.
I'm like, if they do it to her, they'll do it to you. And while, you know, right now you're on the right side of the room during this conversation, when you walk out of the door, what do they say about you? And so the fact that we could be in this place where we literally are losing ground and women are not seen as competent and capable and smart, and that somebody could reduce you to nothing but a tight skirt, you know, it's unacceptable. I can't believe we are here. And so for me, those are the things that are driving me to vote. It's because I just don't want to see another 4 years of Donald Trump dominating the news cycle. The stories we missed in his presidency, because the buffoonery was so great, that all these things were happening around us and we didn't even know because the media was constantly covering. And it was one misstep after misstep, one, you know, rude comment, one awful moment, one derogatory. And I'm just like, come on, man, we're so much better than this.
Yeah.
Racial history, all the crap that we've gone through in this country aside, I just read a story, and I can't figure out, I think that it's in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, swim team, college students, and one of the kids is, and I don't know if he was held down, I don't know how this happens, but the N-word was carved into his chest with a box cutter. Just happened like September 16th. Now, it's more to that story, it's a really weird story, but the thing for me is, there was a time not too long ago that would have been unexpected.
Yeah.
We would never even. Never even thought.
Yeah.
The things that people are willing to come up and say to people now.
Yeah.
You know, and feel entitled to say it. And I mean on all sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm voting, is because I just want to see a better country. I want to see people treat people better. It's not the policy for me right now. We can survive policy. Bad policy, we figure it out.
So for you, in a way, it's about like which candidates model better behavior, and like what kind of like.
I'm interested in your leadership. You know, I'm character matters to me.
Yeah.
Morals matter to me.
Yeah.
And I just think that when you know, like I thought about. When Donald Trump, was that the first assassination attempt? Yes. So he goes down, and then he comes up and he yells, fight, 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 fight. But a real leader would have turned around to see if anybody else was hurt. A real leader would have tried to keep people calm, because I don't know if there are multiple shooters, there are other people. And so just that moment, it says so much. You know, it's like the concern was not for the safety of the people around you, country. You know, we living in crazy times right now. You are encouraging people to go fight. Fight who?
Yeah.
Fight who? And then just imagine if people had followed the instruction, jumped off the stage.
Yeah.
Who are you swinging at? so we get our mini version of January 6th again.
Mm-hmm. And so I just thought that that says so much about who this individual is.
Absolutely.
And then we later find out that there are people behind you that actually got hit. You didn't give a, you didn't care at all about those people. You didn't turn around to make sure anybody was okay. Mm-hmm. And it sounds weird to say, but I believe it in all my heart. Had that been Joe Biden in that situation, Joe Biden would have turned around.
Yeah.
He would have looked over his shoulder. He, once they got him, it would have been the first thing on his agenda to figure out. Because they were shooting at me and they grazed me. That bullet went somewhere.
Yeah.
So.
One more question for you, but I've forgotten what it was because that was such a compelling, like, oh, here it is. Okay, say you had an unregistered potential voter in front of you. What would you tell them about why it's important?
The thing that so many people have said is that my voice doesn't count. They're going to do what they want to anyway. And, you know, unfortunately in the black community, people say I survive no matter who's in office. And I don't think that either team really plays for us. But the one thing I've had to say to people is that, and I believe that, from cradle to grave, the government plays a role in your life.
Yeah.
And I mean in every facet, whether it's the food that you eat, the rent that you pay, the streets that you drive on, the schools that you educate your children on. It is foolish to believe that you are not impacted. So you either let people continue to make decisions for you, or you figure out how to make something for yourself. And while you may not be in the room, you can send a representative. You can send, and if they don't do the job you're supposed to, you can fire them and get somebody else. Or just run yourself. But we can't keep letting things happen to us. You don't have to. And so that's the thing I tell people. It's like, you have a say. And in the moments that I've stood here listening to you talk, what you said makes good sense to me. I need you to take that to the State House. I need you to take that to the Common Council. You know, so just trying to help people understand, like, it's going to happen to you whether you say a word or not.
Yeah.
You might as well say something.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I remember my toughest customer in talking about this. I just said, so let me just ask a question. How are you doing? And they said, not well, you know, and they listed all these things that were bad. And I said, so if you were drowning, what would you do? She looked at me, she said, what do you mean? I said, if you were drowning right now, if I pushed you in Lake Michigan, what would you do? She said, I would fight to get up, you know, get out of the water. I said, well, why are you not fighting me?
Yeah.
I said, it's the same concept. You got to fight.
It's all right. Well, ma'am, thank you. That was a beautiful interview.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.